If you would, turn over to John 15, John chapter 15. And I'm going to read from verses 1 through 8, verse 16. So we're going to kind of use this as our foundation scripture, John 15. And I want us to kind of center in and focus in on this particular message here. Maybe you haven't thought about it. But there's one thing, if you would, consider this, that right from when we're talking about the subject of being fruitful or fruitfulness, and if you would consider this, that right from the very book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, God, everything he makes, he doesn't just expect, he requires it to produce fruit or bear fruit. So right from the beginning, you can walk down and you can look at various verses. Verse 11 in Genesis 1, I'll read it to you. It said, and God said, let the earth bring forth, bearing fruit. He said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed and the fruit and so forth. And verse 12, and the earth brought forth. So it produced at his command, right? Verse 20. It says, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature and so forth and the fowl. And it said, and God created the great, in verse 21, God created the great whales and every living creature that moveth and so forth. And verse 22, it says, and God blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply. So you get the picture. God, everything he made, he expects it to be fruitful and to multiply. Well, then you can go right on to verse 28. And he said, and God blessed them. He's talking about man. Let us make man in verse 26. In our image after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth. And so he created man in his own image. In verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. So I want you to keep that in mind, that everything that God made, everything he created, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Right? So now let's take a look. Let's go over to John 15. I want to just set that thought. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. He's talking just as Jesus. He's the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman, or you could say gardener. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he does what? He takes it away. So branches are what? They're to bear fruit. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, or you could say prunes it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now, I want to just stop for a moment and look at verse 3 just for a second. It says what? Now ye are clean through the word. When? Right now ye are clean. And that word clean, if you look it up, you can look that up in your own time. But just looking it up in the dictionary, the word clean means to be pure. It means to be purified by fire. It means to be free from sin and guilt, blameless, innocent. Now listen to this. This is a verse. This is a definition right out of the dictionary. Like a vine cleansed by pruning, so fitted to bear fruit. So, what does that mean? Now ye are pruned through the word. So when we say, now ye are clean, it really means the same thing as what he just got done saying when he said that every branch that beareth fruit, he prunes it, so it brings forth more fruit. So now ye are clean through the word, or pruned through the word. So what? That you can bring forth more fruit. This is how, you know, when we talk about bearing more fruit, it's fruit in every area of our life. So what does the word do? The entrance of his word, when it's revealed to us that we need to do something, what? Pruning. Oops. Oops. Pinch. Right? So that we can do what? Bear more fruit. So that things in our life get corrected, things that God will direct. He'll say, go do this, go fix this in your life, so that you can be more fruitful, more productive in him. Everybody understand that? Everybody getting this? It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as what? The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. I like that. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Say withered. So if you're not connected to the vine, we've all seen this, a branch gets broken, it gets disconnected, and what happens? It starts to wither. Starts to wither. It doesn't have the sap from the vine, so it gets withered. And that's what happens to the branch, which would be us. And men gather them and cast them into fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and what else? My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. How is he glorified? By us bearing fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Ye have not, and now jump down to verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and what? Ordained you to do what? Just work? Well, that's part of it in life. We do work, but the primary thing here, he chose us and ordained us, that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he shall give it you. Let me read this from the Phillips translation. It says, you must, this is verse 4 and 5, you must go on growing in me, and I will grow in you. For just as the branch cannot bear any fruit unless it shares the life of the vine, so you can produce nothing unless you go on growing in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. It is the man who shares my life and whose life I share who proves fruitful. For the plain fact is that apart from me, you can do nothing at all. So God expects that we produce fruit. And the only way we're going to do that is to stay connected or continue growing. And there's another translation. Let me read this here. It's called the Wuest, W-U-E-S-T. It says in verse 4, maintain a living communion with me and I with you. So that means we need to have fellowship with him, just like we were sharing this morning about the songs. We may have an opportunity to have fellowship with God in music. But this says here, maintain, that's abiding, maintain a living communion or fellowship with me and I with you. Just as the branch is unable to be bearing fruit from itself as a source. So the branch is not the source. It's to stay connected, but it cannot bear fruit of itself as a source unless it remains in a living union with the vine. See? So neither you, unless you maintain a living communion with me. He who maintains a living communion with me and I with him. So, when we're not staying connected, when we don't have a living communion with him, we can't bear fruit. And this is where it says here, the branch is removed and is withered. Here's one reason I suspect, I could be wrong about this, but I suspect one reason why we get withered in life and weak in life and worn out is because we don't maintain a living communion with the vine. And so we're busy, 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 busy doing stuff, and we consider it fruitful things in life, but the things that are fruitful and remain are things that God has ordained, and don't get me wrong, somebody might say, well, I have all these other responsibilities. I'm not talking about being not responsible where your spouse or your husband or your children or your job, I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about is that every day as we work, as we're about our business, we can have an inward consciousness of God in me as I go about my daily tasks, so that I'm not just going about being busy. Look, Jesus knew some things. Did Jesus waste time? No. Everything he did nothing except he was directed by God the Father. So he didn't waste time. He just didn't do stuff because he felt like going over to this city. He was directed. And it bore fruit. And so I think the same thing, that when we maintain a living communion, that means I'm aware of his presence. I'm not just busy. I'm not going about my day. And then, oop, at the end of the week, it's Sunday. I guess we got to go to church. And you become aware of something. No. See, this is talking about maintaining an awareness of God, a living communion, a fellowship with him all the time, every day. Why? Because he lives in you. So if he lives in us, then we need to have our minds set on the one that lives in us. And we can. It just takes a discipline, and it's set your mind on some things that are spiritual. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures that you can write these down. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful, say being fruitful, in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. So if you walk through the scriptures, you're going to see that word fruitful used right from the very beginning. From the book of Genesis through the Old Testament, you're going to see things in the New Testament about the word being fruitful. Here's another scripture, 2 Timothy. Actually, I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God, or we could say God breathed, and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. So his word is our guide. It prunes us. It cleans us. See? That's what the word is. In the King James, it says, it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the word of God will help clean us. It'll show us what we need to fix and change. So this word, look at verse 16 again. It says, "For you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." Let me read this from the complete Jewish Bible. It says, "You did not choose me. I chose you, and I have commissioned you." I like this word, commissioned. It's like ordained, but when I'm commissioned, I have authority to act in the behalf of someone else. See? And we can all look at various other scriptures, the Great Commission in Mark 16, when it talks about, "Go ye therefore." So you can see that right here when he says, "Go ye into all the world." He said, in this verse, John 15, 16, he says, "You did not choose me, I chose you, and I have commissioned you to go and bear fruit." Fruit that will last. That's perpetual fruit, or you could say fruit that remains. And it says, "So that whatever you ask from the Father in my name, he will give it you." So when I'm commissioned, I have the authorization or command to act in his behalf. Now this word remain, fruit that remains, means something that is not to perish. Something that doesn't perish. It means it's spiritual fruit. What do I mean by that? Something that God directed. Not just being busy. See, and we all, I look at myself, I'm saying, okay, what am I doing? What am I working on? Is this a waste of my time? And if we're not, you know, we're going to jump over to another scripture in a minute, but the Bible in basic English, this is what verse 16, it says here, "I gave you the work of going about and providing fruit which will be forever." That's fruit that remains. It does not perish. That means it lasts forever. It means it abides. So fruit that remains is fruit that's spiritual. And turn over to 1 Corinthians, if you would, chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Is this all right? You're going to learn something here? Because if you're a branch and you're producing fruit already, it's it's pruning time. How many want to bear more fruit? Anybody awake? I do. Because I'll tell you, here's why you want to bear fruit. We're going to look at this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. There's a reason why. Starting in verse 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, it says, "I have planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the increase." That sounds like fruit, doesn't it? It sounds like fruit to me. "So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God giveth the increase." He's talking about fruit bearing here. Hallelujah. "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward." I'm not going to get a reward for what you do. Or your mama or your daddy or, you know, hey, whatever. Right? That means you're going to have a reward based on what you do. His own reward. "According to your mama's labor." No, it says according to his own labor. Right? You're not skating by on this. It says, for we are laborers together with God. We're laborers together with what? With God. And ye are God's husbandry, and ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So when this says here, let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon, I think that means in some ways we need some wisdom from God how we build on top of a foundation, would you? In other words, even in the natural, you have certain construction crews that are specialized in building foundations. And then you have some that are specialized, I work construction for a while. You have concrete people that do the foundation, then you have framers. The framers come in and they're specialized. They know how to put the studs up. They're using metal now. So they use metal studs. But these guys know how, they're framers. They know how to do things like that, right? They're specialized. And so here, everybody's looking at what? Blueprints. So you have to, what here? It says here, take heed. You're not just doing this by yourself. Take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That means at the end of your life, your work, everything that you've ever done, is going to be tested by fire. That's a sobering thought. Everything. Sitting back watching TV for 5 or 8 hours. Everything is going to be tested by fire. And I'm not saying you shouldn't watch TV. I'm just making a point that everything you've ever done and will do is going to be tested by fire. And so this says here that verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, or you could say loss of reward. He's not going to lose his salvation, because that's what this says. But he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. So what we lose is a reward from the fruit bearing. You still, if you receive Christ, you're saved. But everything you've ever done in life can go up in smoke. And this says here, that which remains, this says here, could be gold, silver, precious stones, and so forth, not subject to fire. What are we talking about fire? Physical fire? No, we're talking about the presence of God. God's going to test what you've done. And it's a sobering thought, because we all want to, if you haven't thought about it, you need to think about it. And if you really have not focused on this, you need to. Because it's whether you go, I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, you can believe what you want, but the scripture is forever settled in heaven, as the Psalms say. The word is forever settled. He is the word, and the word shall not fail. So the word of God is true, and it is going to test everything we've done. Now, we don't have to fear if we haven't been as effective. Then that's where pruning comes in. That's where the teaching comes in, so that we get our minds on this, and if we need to make a correction, we make a correction. If you've got breath in your lungs, there's time. You got time to make a correction and say, you know what, from here going out, I'm going to think about this more often. I'm going to let God direct me into the things that I do. Amen. Reminder here. Let me read this from Galatians 6:7. You can turn over there, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth," right? We're talking about fruit bearing here. "That shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap" what? "Life everlasting." That means to me, fruit that remains. Life everlasting is something eternal. So fruit that remains is something, every time you share the gospel with something, with someone, and someone happens, you know, you may water, that doesn't necessarily mean you share the gospel and somebody may get saved, but you may plant a seed. That's eternal fruit. Things that you're directed to do, that's eternal. You know, you could be a housewife raising children. If you raise your children in the admonition and the fear of the Lord, that's fruit. That's bearing fruit. That's eternal. You're raising children at home, godly children. That's fruit bearing. So I think we don't have to get stuck that it's this thing here. No. If you've been assigned and commissioned to do that, then you do it with God's direction and his wisdom. Right? Glory to God. So the work, things that are tested by fire, if it remains, then all of your work and all of your efforts will be rewarded. And I'm sure all of us have done, I've got stuff that is just a waste of time. So obviously, you know, we want to make sure we're not just busy doing stuff or doing things, but we're doing things as directed by God, things that will bear fruit. And something that, if you would, turn over to Romans chapter 8 for a moment. Well, actually, before you turn there, go back to John 15 again. Go back to John 15. And look at verse 4 and 5 again. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it" what? "Abide in the" what? "In the vine. No more can ye, except ye" what? "Abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that" what? "Abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." What would you say, what would you consider the overriding or the predominant word that's being used in those two verses? Those abide, that's correct. So really you could say this word abide is back to what we were looking at. It means to stay or stay connected. So abiding, you could stay, you could read it like this: "Stay in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it stay in the vine." No more can ye, except you stay in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that stays in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, what do we mean by that? We mean something. We talk about. I'll go over to Romans chapter 8. If we're abiding, we're staying. We're not visiting. We're staying. We're taking up residence. You know, one thing, think about this scripture here. The nature of the flesh, when you stay, one thing where the Lord is concerned, what are most of the, a lot of the scriptures we read, it says, wait on the Lord. And he'll do what? He'll renew our strength. So we really need to learn how to abide and to stay and to wait on the Lord. Well, the nature of the flesh is what? Impatience. Is not waiting. I got 120 channels on TV. It's like click, 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 up, click, 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 click. We're not waiting for anything, right? I've got the internet. I've got all of this stuff at my fingertips, and it's like I'm not waiting for nothing. And so the nature of the flesh is impatience, not to wait. And so we need to learn how to wait and stay and abide in him. And it's totally in conflict with spiritual things. And that's the fight. Romans chapter 8, look at verse 5. It says, for they that are after the what? The flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, you could say they put their mind on spiritual things, right? Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity. See, this is what we're talking about. There's this fight between the flesh, impatience and waiting and being still. See, there's this fight because the flesh, I want it now. I want it. I want it. I want it. Selfish. But the spirit, it says, when I put my mind on spiritual things, it's life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Hallelujah. So you can go down and you know, we'll look at this for a moment. But Isaiah 26:3, it says, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Isaiah 26:3. Because he trusteth in thee. That means he stays, because his mind stays on thee, not just visiting every once in a while. So one of the things, you know, we were saying before is that all of the mighty works and the great works that were done in Jesus' ministry, all of this happened out of his, or a byproduct, or you could say a result of, his personal fellowship with the Father. And so all of the fruit that was born, all of the mighty works, was from his living communion with the Father. So he spent time with the Father every day. He knew what to do. He didn't waste any time. So I have a question. Can we know? Can we know? Well, all you ameners, turn over to 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. Hope this is all right for you. If barren fruit isn't your thing, well, you may want to consider that. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20, it says, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." So we can know. We have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the anointing or the unction of God within us, residing in us, that can reveal and show us all things. Show us how we should spend our time, what we should get involved in, what we should be doing. And so, let me read another scripture. Joshua 1:8, it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous," sounds like fruit bearing, "and then thou shalt have good success." So it's going to require us staying connected, thinking about, putting our mind on spiritual things. And, you know, some folks might say, well, you can't have your mind on that 24/7. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can be aware. I can be busy in the office, but I can have an awareness of God in my spirit. I can have an awareness of Him leading me and guiding me. I can have an awareness of Him all day long. Oh, yes, you can. And we should. And not just be busy, because Brother Hagin used to say it like this when he was alive. He said, we need to be more God inside minded, being more conscious of who lives inside of us than the outward things that we see, and being motivated by what we see. We need to be motivated by the directions and His presence, His anointing in us. And that in and of itself, you know, when we get His direction, let me read this scripture to you. This is in Ecclesiastes 10:10. You can write it down or you can turn there. It's the first book after Proverbs. But the latter half of that verse, in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, it says, "But wisdom is profitable to direct." Wisdom, say wisdom, is profitable to direct. So we need wisdom to direct our every steps. And I believe that when wisdom is given to us, divine wisdom, He will free up and show us exactly what we need to put our hands to. And the things that we don't need to be doing, He'll show us. And we need to ask Him, Lord, what should I do today? What are the things that matter? What are the things I need to do? You know, one thing I'm aware of, and, you know, I've shared this, maybe I have, maybe I haven't, but anybody who's using technology can free up time in your day. You need to ask God how I can recapture time. What would you say is the most valuable thing that you have? Time. Because once it's spent, you can't get it back. It's gone. So the fruit bearing that we need time to do that. And so for us, what would it be? Wouldn't it be great? See, sometimes, I don't want to say this the wrong way, but sometimes God doesn't give us more time, because if I had extra time, what would you do with it? Would you just kind of veg out for the day? Or think about, I'm going to go and just retire and go on a two-week cruise. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with relaxing and relaxing and getting some time alone. But if that's your mindset, that I'm going to get every bit of free time to do something foolish with, why would I need more free time? Would I? See, God will reveal things. What does he say? He said he prunes so we can do what? Bear more fruit. So are we even thinking about it in that perspective, in that vein? Are we even thinking about, I want to bear more fruit? Are we even thinking about, how can I be more productive for God? I'll share this just as an aside. When I first came to this ministry, I worked in the media area. And I thought, this was my thinking all the time. How can I be more productive? How can I do more? How can I get more done? How can I do five things instead of one? I thought about it. And I meditated on it. And ideas came. Wisdom came to buy equipment, do this, do something that I could be more fruitful doing that. But I had to put my mind on it. I had to think about it. And the wisdom of God came. But if you don't even think about it, why would he tell you? I mean, if you're a business owner and you got a slothful person over here, why would I invest? Why would I show a lazy person how to be more fruitful? Why would I do that? I wouldn't. If I was a business owner, I'd be looking for people who want to propel this company further, and I'm going to give them ideas how to do that. Well, God is the same way. He's looking for people who are spiritually minded, and he will show them how to do that. That's why Pastor Greg and I talk about it. We say, how can we reach more people? How can we do that? Give us ideas. And that's why something the Lord spoke to me recently. He said, remember when I told you about working the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, and I showed you a way to make money, or I showed you a way that money would come to you. He told me to invest in Apple stock. I shudder every time I think about it because it was $40 a share. It went up to $700. He was trying to get money to me. And this is what he said to me recently, about 2 weeks ago. He said, you've been calling the people into the ministry. He said, I'm showing you a way to reach them. He said, Facebook. He said, not the only way. He said, it is a way to reach people with the gospel. So one thing is, we've got to put our mind on it, and we've got to actively talk to God and say, God, I want to reach more people wherever you are, whether you're an individual, whether you're a ministry, and he will show you, he will customize to you because he knows you. He knows your personality. He knows your talents. He knows your gifts. He knows your makeup. And he'll tell each person differently on how to reach more people. But you got to put your mind on it. And you've got to ask God for it. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Amen. I hope this stirs somebody, because it stirs me. Because we all can be more fruitful in this area. We all can be. So again, the The key here is that we want to maintain a living communion. We want to stay connected. We want to abide or stay. Now, let me read this in the Amplified. In verse 4 and 5, or verse 7, it says, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you and continue to live in your heart. See, they've got to live there. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. So we are laborers together with God, and he expects, this was the point of this message, he not just expects, he requires that we bear fruit. Because everything that we've ever done in life is going to be tested by him, by the fire of God, and the fruit that remains, the fruit that lasts, the fruit that doesn't perish, is another way to say it, is fruit that remains. And he's honored with that. He's glorified with that. And so, if we haven't thought about it, then let's start. Doesn't matter what age you are. You can be very, very young and very, very old. And wherever you are in life, you may not know at this stage of your life. You may go, well, this is the first time I ever thought about it. I've never really thought about this. Well, now's your chance. Now's your chance to start thinking about it, put your mind on it, and as you do, God will begin to show you how to reach people. You could be in college, whatever you're doing, doesn't matter, grade school, college, high school. You could be on a job. God will begin to show you how to reach people and to share the good news of the gospel. And I think that's the most exciting thing, is that God, Pastor Clinton used to say it this way when he was alive, sheep beget sheep. It's another way of saying it. We're all responsible to bear fruit. And I'm excited about it because what God is beginning to pique and stir me is that time is short. Time is very, 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 very short. And there are a world that doesn't know Christ. And every one of us can reach someone with the good news, with a smile, just with a hello, with a good morning. How are you? Can I pray with you? And I haven't met too many people that aren't willing to be prayed for. Somebody's got something going on in their life they want prayer for. You know, when we go, when just across the street, we go to a health food store across the street. They know where we are. And it's really interesting. They know what we do. And we're just friendly. We don't preach at them. We're not going there wagging a Bible and preaching the scriptures at them. But we're just friendly. We've established a rapport. And when we go in there, a lot of times they'll say, would you pray for me? He said, you know, there's a lot of theft going on in the store. Just pray for us. Certainly. So you begin to establish a communion or a fellowship with people. And sometimes you're the only reflection of God they're ever going to see. And so we need to begin to present God and the love of God to people. And they may never have thought about it. They may never have had an interaction with the love of God or with someone that would go out of their way to help them or pray for them. And I think that's something that we need to keep in mind. And so the point of all of this today was that we need to start thinking about, as the scripture says, if you're a branch, then you're expected to bear fruit. Think about Jesus' ministry in Mark 11. Now, anybody who was raised up in that area, don't you think? You know, you think about here, most of you, if you've either come from the islands, and I see Audrey back there, she knows when mangoes came out on trees or whatever, right? Whatever fruit. You raised in an area, you raised in this area in the Northeast, you know when apples are supposed to come out on the trees. If you're down in Florida, you know when oranges come out. You know when fruit comes out. So let me ask a question. Jesus was raised in that Mideastern country. Don't you think he knew when figs came out on a tree? I think he did. So when he went expecting to get fruit off a tree and he was hungry, somebody may say, well, why'd he curse the tree? He didn't do it of his own volition. The Father told him to do it. And everything that's created of God is supposed to bear fruit. And what did he say? That which does not is cast out and burnt and plucked up. And so what did he do? He cursed the tree and said, no one eat fruit of thee hereafter. And so we need to think about it, put our minds on it, and as we do, God will expand that in us, expand how we can reach more people. Anybody excited about that? I am. I'm really excited about it. The rest of you will get excited as you put your mind on it. I'll tell you, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. If you've never seen a person in despair have the burden lifted through something that God has used through you, you haven't lived. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I'm finished. I hope you got a little something out of that to feed upon. And the main thing is that we want to set our minds on things spiritual. Things spiritual are things that are eternal. And fruit that remains is fruit that's eternal. That means it never, in other words, if something's eternal, that means when it's tested by fire, it ain't getting burned up. It ain't getting burned up. So I don't know about you, but my desire is to have an abundant reward. Not for selfish sake, but so that he gets the glory. Because really, what's the purpose of living? To go to work, get stuff, and leave this earth? I'll put it this way, boring. Because if that's all we're living for, we missed it. Because the scripture tells us right there that our purpose for being, he said, I've ordained you, I've called you, chosen you, and ordained you to go and bring forth fruit. That's what he's called us to do. So in whatever avenue of profession you're in or pursuing, that doesn't excuse you from fruit bearing, right? You can be a pizza maker and still bear fruit, and he can give you ideas on how to reach people. I'll close with this, I remember I saw this little Facebook post once. This guy worked on Wall Street. He was an investment person. He had a very good job, and he just got tired of it. And he said, and it was really a strange thing. You know, you could see it was God-ordained because it had a Christian theme to it. But he worked on Wall Street, and he had this great job and so forth. And he quit, and he said, I want to open up a pizza shop. And you thought, investment, pizza, strange change of path, right? But anyways, what was thrilling about it, And he opened up a pizza shop, and he got the idea, $1 a slice, right? So there's a lot of pizza stores. I don't know, you got to show me where they are, because $1 a slice ain't, there must be, because he said there are. But anyways, he opened this in Philly, and he said, just, he started, he had, a homeless person came in, was hungry, and he just decided, here, have a couple slices. And he said, he started sticking post-its on the wall to pay it forward. And he started putting post-its so any person that was homeless could come in, take a post-it, and it was paid for. So the homeless knew that they could get a free slice or two, and the wall was covered with post-its. I mean, literally covered. And what happened was people then got excited about it, and they would just come in and say, here, I got an extra five, put five post-its up. And people started just giving into that to support and feed the homeless on the street. And then what happened was they started interviewing people that were homeless that got off the street and got themselves cleaned up. They got involved. And they started putting post-its on the wall. So one person, see, God can use these kind of things to reach people. Not just make pizza, but he was being fruitful. See, that's my point. That God has called all of us to be fruitful and multiply and touch lives, right? But it takes putting your mind on it and not just going to work making pizza. See, not just J-O-B. It's like, okay, God, you've called me to be fruitful. Show me how. Wisdom is profitable to direct. And we need the wisdom of God. And that wisdom comes by what? Putting your heart and mind in it. And he'll show you. Amen. Glory to God.